Blog Talk Radio.
One of the most difficult things to do is find yourself in a storm. While in that storm, it seems like everyone who you thought you could count on has walked away. Sometimes it seems like even God himself has forgotten about you. But in spite of that, you'll still be able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you.
Convince you that there's no way you can make it out, and he says you're not going to be able to get out of this situation. But I wish somebody would make the devil out of a lie right now and lift your hands and say, God, I will trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to show up, but God, I know you're going to do it. God, I know you're going to bring me out. Come on, if that's you, come on, lift your voice and say, I will. Oh, that's right. I'll trust you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I don't know when the pain's going to end. God, you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. So I trust you in spite of what I see, in spite of what I'm going through. I trust you. God, you've never left me. I know you love me. That's why I trust you. Come on, now you take it up. I had my heart broken. I made some mistakes. God, you still kept me. Oh, God, you're faithful. You see what I'm going through. You know my pain. I trust you. Trust you. I know you're here with me. I'm not by myself. As long as I got you, Jesus, I can make it. I trust you. Yeah. You're not by your side. I trust you. Oh, God, I just lost my job. But I got more bills and money, but
thank God for another day that the Lord has kept us. We thank God for each and every one of you, and I'm just so excited. I could hardly wait to this. You know, you don't even know if you're going to wake up and see the next day. And then we're preparing for weeks in advance, months in advance, but I thank the Lord. I trust him with my life. Amen. And that song was by James Fortune. I will trust you. Amen. Once again, we want to greet you in the matchless, awesome, precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Once again, we thank you for tuning in to listening to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. I tell you, we are on this line Monday through Friday, lifting up the name of Jesus. Our airtime is at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 o'clock p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. We also have Minister Billy Burns that hosts a segment called They Overcame. If you have a powerful testimony, and if you're on the West Coast and you don't mind getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning, you are welcome to tune in, but it's 8 a.m. Eastern Time, and she hosts this out of Apex, North Carolina. Then on Sunday morning, we gather together for 30 minutes of corporate prayer at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we thank God for each and every one of you. Once again, I'd like to thank Evangelist Phillips for standing and helping me with this switchboard on today. I knew we would have quite a few callers, and we had quite a few callers on yesterday. Amen. So we're back today with this two-day series, and I'm just so excited about Pastor Edward Hamilton coming to share this time with us on New Destiny Ministries. I tell you, I know he's a busy man. He's a psalmist. He's a worshiper. He's a pastor. He's a trainer. He's a teacher. So this man of God is everywhere. He's all over the globe trying to teach and preach to the saints of God and trying to win souls for the kingdom. So we're just so happy to have him with us on today. And I'm so blessed to see my pastor on the line. Hallelujah. See Pastor Burford on the line. God bless you. We're going to go to him, and we're going to ask him to open up with the word of prayer. This is Dr. Kenneth Burford, and he's a professor. He teaches at a Bible seminary, and he's also a wonderful pastor that has a flock of people here in the city of Stockton, California, and his church is called Christ Redeeming Center. Amen. So we're just so honored to see him here today. And you know, I sent out a message. I said, if you're serious about ministry, if you're serious about taking your ministry to the next level, you don't want to miss this intense training that Pastor Hamilton is going to do for us on these 2 days. So I tell you, we need a facelift. We need to upgrade. You know, when we want God to do something extraordinary for us, then we gotta take care of God's business, and we have to let him know where we're serious about what we're seeking him for. So we're just blessed to be able to see all of you all again. And again, I'd like to thank Evangelist Phillips for coming in and helping me with this switchboard. This is a lot of work. Amen. I don't see everybody right now, but with your names in, and Evangelist Phillips will be coming to you privately to get your names, because she don't know all of the regulars that call in. So we thank God for her on today. But we're going to go straight to Pastor Burford and let him open up with the word of prayer. God bless you, Pastor.
Well, God bless you, my sister. May the Lord bless you and all that are on the line on this morning. We just praise God for his goodness and for his mercy and for his kindness and for his love. We're just thankful to God for being God and our Father. Well, we'll just go right into prayer right now. Father God, we come before your presence boldly. We come before you knowing that you're here. We don't have to call you from anywhere, but you are here. You have been and you are and shall forever be Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present with us and the Lord who is there with us. So we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise and thanksgiving for being the God who is ever present and the God who is ever near and the God who never leaves us nor forsake us. Father, we thank you for your mercy and for your kindness and for your goodness. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for sending your word, wrapping it up in identifiable flesh so that we might be able to look upon the glory of God and be thankful unto him for the glory that has been sent unto us. And also, we thank you for the ability to be able to identify with the power of the Holy Spirit, where God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. So therefore, we thank you, Father, for the same Holy Ghost, the same anointing of the Holy Ghost that Jesus was anointed with, and for the same purpose that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, so are we, that we might go about doing good and bringing healing and deliverance to all who are oppressed of the devil. For it is Christ in us, the expectation of glory. It is Christ in us, the mind, the anointing, the will, the purpose, the idea, the concept, the heart of God that is manifested even in our flesh, that will infiltrate, yes, and even influence the world. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for the ability to co-labor with you. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that brings clarity. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that brings healing. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that brings deliverance. And there is nothing that the enemy or the adversary can bring forth that shall not be subdued by the dominating power of dunamis, by the victorious power of vigor, by the force of the Holy Ghost. We operate, we move, and we live in the glory and in the power of the mighty God who is in operation on the inside of us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, according to the power, according to the power that worketh within us. So there is something working within the body of Christ. There is something working within us as individual Christians that allow us to bring under subjection everything, every high thing that it would even exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So, Father, we praise you, and, Father, we glorify you, and, Father, we magnify you for all that you are in us today, in Jesus' name. And we give glory and honor to you forevermore and evermore and evermore. Lord, bless this broadcast on today. Bless those who speak. Bless those who are operating the switchboard. Bless everyone that is working on behalf of the kingdom. We pray today in Jesus' name, and we say amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Burford. We're going to go ahead and introduce our speaker. We want to tell you a little bit about this
evangelist,
name of God.
Evangelist?
Yes.
Can I have just 1 second before you say anything else, please?
Go ahead.
Right now, in the name of Jesus, if everyone that is on this line would just connect in agreement right now, that as we just continue to worship him right now, the Spirit of God is moving right now. I feel him moving. And if we could just worship him for a second, just forget about everything that we've been thinking about, getting ready for this program, thinking about how many people may be online. Let's just erase all worry, care, and doubt right now, and just enter into his court with thanksgiving. And let's just praise him for a minute. Lord, we worship you right now, Lord Jesus. We come before you, Lord Jesus. We ask you right now, Lord Jesus, to just let us decrease. Lord, that you may increase in us, Heavenly Father God. Let not one thing go forth today, Lord, that is not of your will, Heavenly Father God. And we will worship you, Lord. Lord, we ask for a mighty move of you right now, Lord, that as we touch and agree in the Spirit, Heavenly Father God, from the east to the west to the north to the south, Heavenly Father God, that as we come together as one, unified, wanting to know what your will is for our lives, Heavenly Father God, that you will find us pleasing in your sight today as we worship you. Oh, Lord, we worship you, Lord Jesus. We bow down before you, Lord Jesus. We humble ourselves. Lord, we lessen ourselves, Lord. We die of all flesh, that, Lord, your Spirit may rise right now, and that as your anointing equips us, Heavenly Father God, that we will do exactly what you've called us to do. And as we continue forth from this moment right now, from this moment when we move forward, that, Lord, it is under your guidance, Heavenly Father God. And we just say together, have your way.
Thank you, God.
Have your way, Lord Jesus. It is by no mistake that you have us gathered here right now, Jesus. And we accept your call.
Yes, God.
And we open up all areas of understanding right now, Lord, to hear you clearly, that you may move mightily in each and every one of our purposes right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Oh, we thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you.
Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, okay, my sister. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. We're going to, Mr. Hamilton has an extensive work he's doing for the kingdom of God, so we're going to read this few paragraphs of some of the work he's doing. Amen. Provoke to Purpose Ministries' goal is to preach, teach, and equip all the saints for their purpose-driven life in Christ. Our belief is that the body of Christ is called forward to oneness with the willingness to follow God's complete instructions and plan. Our mindset should be that of a warrior with the confidence to follow and not compromise the call, to obey and fight with victorious attitude before the battle even begins. Provoke to Purpose believe that we must exercise the word in our lives. We must work with this new life in Christ daily to find ourselves acceptable in God's sight, ready, willing, and able to receive immediate vision for immediate action. Wake up, get up, move now, 0 to 5 seconds. Provoke to Purpose has developed a principle-based curriculum to assist individuals to be provoked in finding their God-given purpose while allowing God to birth his dreams, visions, and ideas through us. We know that our new life in Christ must exemplify God, and that the only way to accomplish this is to set up our commitment and really walk the walk and talk the talk. In 2 Corinthians 9:2, provoke is used in the simple sense to call forth. Your zeal can provoke very many. Paul is saying to the Corinthians that their zeal, excitement, has stirred up similar likenesses on the part of the people of Macedonia. In Hebrews 10:24, Paul teaches, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This means to consider how to stir up one another's gifts of love and of good works as true disciples. That God wants us to be provoked to find our desired goal, to change the way we think so that we can truly receive the perfect plan that he has for us. Pastor Hamilton has established 7 godly steps to finding God's purpose life. 1 is change the way you think. 2 is preparing for the battle. 3 is recognize your cost and following daily. 4 is regaining your birthright in God. And that's our subject matter for today, regaining your birthright in God. 5 is manifesting your hope to existence. 6 is hearing God's word unto perception. And 7 is forming godly habits and character. This ministry was founded February 20th in 1997 out of Houston, Texas. Pastor Edward Hamilton has 30 years of ministry experience, including 20 years of pastoring, 30 years of music ministry. He was the youth pastor at New Morning Star Missionary Baptist Church in Compton, California. He's also a life coach at Provoke to Purpose Ministry in Texas, Tennessee, the state of Louisiana, and also the state of Georgia. Pastor Hamilton is also the pastor and shepherd of Tabernacle of Worship Christian Fellowship in Houston, Texas. He is a master trainer for Vertical Leap and BOSS, the movement under Al Hollingsworth, his coach and mentor of Corona, California. He is also the National Urban Church Planning Advisor in Houston, Texas. He's a youth development counselor, and again, those ministries are in the states that we stated earlier. He has a Bachelor of Science at the University of California, Long Beach. He has a Master's in Theological Science from Mercedes Christian University. So with no further ado, we'd like to present to others and introduce to some our trainer and teacher and facilitator for the next 2 days. That's none other than Pastor Edward Hamilton. God bless you, man of God.
Well, amen, family. First of all, we're gonna put the titles and from this point on until tomorrow, I'm gonna ask everyone, can I have their permission to be their personal coach? Now, I know I can't hear all the response, but I am going to just believe in the spirit that as I speak, you're in agreement with what the Lord says, and I'm asking everyone's permission. So in the spirit, agree with me that I have your permission to be your coach for the next 2 days, and amen, I receive that. Secondly, you can just call me coach, you can call me Pastor E, you can just call me Edward if you like, because I would just want to be in order with what God would have me to do. And other than church, the systems of the church and names is the only reason it's important. So all I have to say is what a pleasure it is to, first of all, be a part of New Destiny Ministries. I have really been blessed extremely by just having a relationship through social media, you know, knowing you on Facebook and seeing what you're doing and how God is really moving in your ministry. I'm excited. And so we're here today, you know, to talk about what Provoke to Purpose does. Provoke to Purpose was designed to get us out of the normal way of living this Christian life. Now, this ministry, it goes from the leadership all the way down to the members of ministries, but it is really critiqued for leadership in ministries. We love to partnership with other ministries, bring our curriculum in with the agreement and the partnership with the pastors, bring our curriculum in and train their leaders to be provoked to their godly purpose. Now, a lot of us work in church, and a lot of us have positions that we have, but most of us are maybe doing what we do because of necessity. We needed someone to do this, and the pastors on the line know what I'm talking about. Is you, in all the times you have to utilize what you have to get the job done, and it may not be the right position for that person. Well, at some point, we got to say enough is enough, and we have to start to make some conscious decisions to say we're going to get in line with God because we're ready to see God really move. And in this season, God is doing some awesome things. I'm witnessing God moving some small ministries, some big ministries, some middle ministries. But the thing that I'm seeing that's in agreement is order. That everything that I've seen done, that these churches are coming into order with the Lord. Now, we talked about Provoke. So Provoke comes in, and we like to share our ministry, join partnerships with other churches, train them on these curriculums that I'm going to share with you today that have been life-changing for people all across the country. And then once we partner, we come in and second fold show ministries how to become financially self-sufficient, so now ministry can be built about helping people instead of bringing people in to help the ministry. And yes, we want members to come, and we want to have a recognition that we're doing a good job. But we have to have prepared people that are committed, not to just you, but to God, and to doing what God has called them to do in the season of your ministry. So when we come in and we graduate a class, we will now take it to the next level, and we've gotten a team of grant writers and business professionals and entrepreneurs that will guide churches to now develop church business from inside your church, that the doors stay open from what you do business, that the people can come to really be saved without the worry of what finances will do. Amen? Hello? Amen.
Amen.
So, provoke. I know that Evangelist shared the 7 steps that will get you lined up with your God-provoked purpose. And so, and I know we said birthrights. We're going to get to the birthrights, but the number one thing that the Lord would have us to start at is the way, changing the way we think. See, in our new life of Christ, when we finally make the substantial commitment to really walk a new life in Christ, we are instructed in Romans 12:2 to not be conformed to this world. Now, when I look at the world and I look at the Word of God and I start to study, I look at the world and I'm a Christian now, so I live according to how my Christian life is showing me, but when I look at the scripture, it tells me that, and maybe this is just for me, but when I look at not being conformed to the world, I start to look at, it's not the world that's so much damaging me, it's my past that damages me. So for my world, for me identifying what me not being conformed to would be my past. But then it says, but be ye not transformed by the renewing of your minds, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds now. See, some of us, you know, still have a question. Well, how do I do this? I'm a Christian. You know, I change my mind because I read, but am I really transformed is really the question that I think that we should ask. You know, when you're really transformed, you see results. You see, we have to be conscious that when we activate God's word, we can move exactly how God's word has set up. As established for us to go forth. So what I want to do is I want to establish that when we change the way that we think, we have to understand that, you know, the Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's establish first, where is the heart of man? Where is the heart of a Christian? Where do we embrace God? Now, when it says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The word heart, to most people, would say it's in my chest. But when I look at what a heart does that's in my chest, all it does is pump blood. So if I take the word for what the word says, if I think in my brain. So my brain, to me, would be identified as my heart, my spiritual heart, where me and God can have a relationship, where me and God can communicate. So the first thing we have to do is to activate and understand where the battle is. The way we think, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ, means that we have to look at this brain that we have in our head, that we think with, that we activate with, you know, that everything that happens in our minds happens because of what our brains say. So, you know, I did some studies, and I found out that when you look in the physic area of a brain, the brain is really broke up into 2 areas. You would have the subconscious mind, which is led by the flesh. You would have the conscious mind that is led by the spirit, the place that we can actually dwell and have a relationship with God. Now, if I can get everybody to say this word with me, say, it's a war. Now, in this war, the war, this battle between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. Now, when we change the way we think, we got to understand that this is a war. It's a battle. It's not something that's just going to automatically happen. Yes, God is. He has the ability to do whatever he wants done because he's already finished it. He's already completed it. So there's no question, and I'll across the airways, there's no question that God has the ability to do whatever he wants done, when he wants done, how he wants it done, and who he wants it done to. But in this walk, in this change, in this commitment to doing things according to not the way we would like them to do in the flesh, but how God would have us to do them in the spirit, we have to wage a war between how we make our choices, how we make the decisions in our lives. Are we led by the subconscious, which basically are led by the five senses? Most people, you ask them a question, why did you do that? It looked good. Why did you eat that? It tastes good. Why are you listening to that music, boy? It sounded good. Now, why did you even touch her? She felt good. So most of us are led by our five senses. Those five areas right there can sum it up to most bad choices that we make in life because they're led by what I would call faulty perceptions because they're not led by the Spirit of God. Secondly, in the fleshy realm, in this subconscious mind, and I hope everybody's with me on this because we're in the mind, and it says that, you know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways in Proverbs. So that's another word there showing me that there must be something different between this mind of mine that is supposed to be in Christ, hallelujah. So in this battle, this subconscious mind that we have already established that is led by the senses, you know, there's another realm, the second realm that would lead us in our decision making is our culture and authority. Culture and authority is our surroundings. It's our parents. It's our friends. It's our peers. It's our teachers. And a lot of people, because they're not conscious in God and not conscious to the word of God, we get led by perceptions of other people. You know, give me an illustration. Three people go into Walmart. One guy has never stole anything in his life. The other guy stole something once, and the other guy is almost a professional theft. And he goes in and he takes something, and he never gets caught. The second guy, he saw him a little better, and he got away. The third guy is his first time in, and he grabbed the same CD, put it in his pocket, and when he walked through, he didn't know to take the little sticker off, and it started beeping. Police come, they arrest him, and when you ask him, why did you do that? Because I saw him do it. Or because he said I could do it. And most of us are led by what other people lead us and not by what God is trying to put in us. So in this war, we gotta wage a war to say we want to now not only be transformed by the renewing of our minds in a singular instance, we have to now start working that word where it's a constant flow. Renewing is not a singular word. It's a plural word. It means that you must do it constantly, that we must take this battle and not just get reluctant to say that because I'm a Christian that it's going to be okay. Ooh. And we have to make choices in our lives to go higher in Jesus. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. I go to church, I worship. You know, I come home and I still study, but when I go out, I'm still sick and tired because my circumstances aren't changing. And maybe it's not just because I'm not a good person, but maybe I'm not taking the principles and activating them completely in my life. See, the word says to ask, seek, and find, knock. Those are completion words. Those are action words. Those are words that mean you got to get up and you got to do something. That every day has to be an alert, focused attention towards God, saying that I make a choice that I want to come to dwell in you, John 15, that you'll say you'll now come to dwell in me. But it all has to be activated. And in this changing the way we think, you have to now become habitual to the Word of God. I'm not perfect by far, but I'm nowhere near to where I used to be. And today I can stand and say that by my choices and my conscious awareness that I'm always on point and I'm always under attack and I'm always in a fight. Most of the times my battles will go the other way because they see I wake up with the whole armor of God. And my consciousness in God tells me that I need the shield, I need the full armor, not just one piece. And a lot of times we'll pick up, you know, the Bible and say we're, and that's the Word of God, and that's mighty. But that's not the only thing it told us to get. The Word was completed to say, take up the whole armor of God that you may stand. So you may take one piece of armor and try to stand. And get knocked over, and you think it's the Word that's having the problem. No, it's us that have the problem because we're not activating the full Word of God.
Oh.
A sermon can be a good sermon out of one text, but the full Word can be confirmed from Genesis to Revelation if we take the full Word and bring it in. And not, you know, if you get what I'm saying. So all I have to say is that when we can now wage war against the sense realm, the subconscious mind, that now we can become conscious Christians, that we stay focused on Him, that we now, and that's what our subject was today, that we now are willing to take back what the enemy first stole, and that was the birthright. Now, Adam and Eve, and all of our Bible scholars know this, but when Adam and Eve were first confronted by God, the first thing they did, they didn't speak, they didn't cry out, they didn't do anything. They did an action. And we know God can see all, He knows all, but God, you know, He called their names out. And what did they do? They hid. See, the enemy comes in John 10 and 10. It comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Destroy what? Most people would say my life. No, brothers and sisters. He doesn't want our lives. He wants our relationship with God. He doesn't want us to be in clear connection with Him. That when He says move, you move. When He says get up, you get up. When He says give, you give. When He says offer. See, He wants us to be off track with God because, see, as we know, our steps have already been ordered. And the enemy does not want you to see clearly to where you're supposed to move. He wants to get you out of position where he can sit up there and laugh and say, see, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I can destroy him. I'm the one that's defeated. But I can sure enough get him off track. I can sure enough distract them because, watch, they're not going to pay attention. They only hear things when they hear something about them. They only pay attention when it's serving their needs. The enemy is smart enough to know the things because he's of this world. And the world is what leads most of us by how it looks, how it sounds, how it feels, how it tastes, and how it sounds. And how it touches. But those five senses will always lead us. But glory to God. God has called us to step our game up. He's building an army right now of conscious, on fire, men and women of God that have been serving Him faithfully, but are at that point of saying enough is enough. See, the most prolific thing that I think that we need to understand is that the Word of God says that His Word will not return to Him, what? Void. The thing we got to start getting excited about is that I'm tired of His Word returning to me void. Because if He dwells in me and I dwell in Him, then I have the same power that He has. So if I speak His Word won't be formed the same thing because it's not my got to get to a point where what we are doing and what we are establishing has to be done in a sense where we're not going to turn back anymore, and we're not going to compromise anymore. And enough is enough just because this person has this. And enough is enough because this person has this. Because I guarantee you, each one of us have a dream. Each one of us have a vision. There's no reason why you don't have it anymore. It might have been because you went to college, you got a career, you got a job, and you never got to fulfill it. It may be because you know, you got married, you had a kid, and it just didn't happen. Or maybe you went down the wrong road and you made a mistake and you just didn't get the benefits that some people get. But today is a new day. Now is a time of immediate change, because we serve not a yesterday or a tomorrow God. We serve a God of now. The only place you can see now, I want to do a little exercise with you, because I want us to all understand where now is. Now, Evangelist, I'm going to have to use you as my guinea pig. But I want you to pretend that I'm standing in front of you and I have a pencil in my hand. Now, when I say to you, take this now. Now, first of all, now has been defined as a time span from 0 to 5 seconds. When I say when, you say now. When. That's how fast now is. So, Evangelist, when I say take this now, I want you to take it as fast as you can, because you want to get this out of my hand, because I have something you want. Ready? Take this now. Too slow. Try it again. Take this now. Too slow. All right, go ahead. One more time. Now, come on, get ready. I'm going to give you a good chance at this one. You got to really, really reach out. Take it now. Too slow. Now, the reason why I say that, where did you actually take it before you took it? See, our body is just a movement. And when you move, you're actually in the past, because you've already done it somewhere else. So where did you take it before you took it? Yes, you got it, in your mind. So in your mind is where the thought process is. That's where we got to focus ourselves to get in line with God's word, in the now, in the mind. Now has been defined, the 0 to 2 to 5 seconds. Now, only Bible scholars, I give it to you from the word of God. Go to Deuteronomy 28 and 1. Deuteronomy 28 and 1. Quick principle. And we're going to have fun with this, because the culture that gets there is teaching another principle. But the principles come from the word of God. And we have to get in God's word, brothers and sisters. And we have to dissect the principles that will bring life. Because everything, there's a step to it. And most of us say, well, we just pray in faith and move on, and we think we're going to get it. But the word of God says to pray in faith without doubt, to speak it, to have belief, to definitely to forgive, and then all things will be added unto you. In Deuteronomy 28, the first word that is there is now. Now. Amen? Now. It shall come to pass. Now watch this. This is going to blow you away. Because we have to understand that God's word has to be transformed, that our minds can be renewed. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So the only way we're going to get something from God is by hearing his word. Deuteronomy 28. Now, it shall come to pass. If you diligently, that's pretty self-explanatory. That means you got to put some work in. Ain't nothing for free. Say that with me. There's nothing for free. So you got to put some work in. It shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Okay, stop there. So if I obey his voice, that means I got to do what? You got it. You got to hear it. So, say number one is to hear it. Then it says to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. Okay, stop. All right. So if I do what? If I observe, that means I have to see it. When we observe things, you know, they got a binoculars and they're peeping around. That means they're looking. They're using their sight. Okay, so number two is that you have to see it. Okay, so you have to, number one, hear it. Number two, you have to see it. Okay. All these things I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Oh, I'm excited right now because, we've been getting enough trickle blessings. It's time for some overtaking blessings. It's time for some blessings that we can really go out and do ministry without having to worry about how much money we can bring in, because we're bringing the money with us. And this isn't a prosperity sermon. And this isn't about God is going to trickle money down to you. No, this is a wake-up call to say there's a business in you that the Word of God has already designed that you can birth and be successful enough to do ministry for nothing. That's what this is about. You got to work it. I can't show you how to pray it. I can only show you how to work it. Because everything in this word that has worked for me, I had to work it and work it hard. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Okay, when you obey, that means you did something. So, number one, you can hear it. You can see it. You can do it. Yes, now. That's what the Lord said. Because it didn't say yesterday, and it didn't say tomorrow. It says now it shall come to pass. Right now, right 0 to 5 seconds, you can reach up and hear God's word in your conscious mind, that you see it in your conscious mind, that now you can obey it on the outside exactly the way he said do it. Play great. There's no gray area in it. There's no simple way to get around it. There's only one way, to be motivated and committed enough to him. Because I know he's done so much for me. He brought me so far, and he's continually taking me to another place. But it only is because I'm willing to step out and follow what he's saying, even when my pocket is not like it used to be, even though I'm not driving where I used to drive, even though I'm not living where I used to live. But going through with him instead of going around, I'm starting to see now where he's taking me, where all these things are better than what I would have got for myself. So if you hear it, you can see it, then you can do it. Okay, now you say, well, what do you mean by that, Coach? Well, what I mean is, if I say to you, Evangelist, table. I'm not talking about your earthly table. I'm talking about your heavenly table. I know my table would probably sit 50. Probably a lot of men of God, men and women of God, we just worship it. Going around the corners, I mean, it's probably black oak, the best cherry wood. It would be phenomenal. Now, but when I say table, prayerfully, you didn't see the word T-A-B-L-E, but you saw the picture. See, God's do the same thing. When it says don't, you got to see a big stop sign in your physical mind that tells you no, that's the stop sign. That's the up sign. That's the go forward sign. Because we're so unconscious, we don't recognize when God throws these signs in our spirits because we're not aware. We don't see his word into perception. We get a vision, and we run off, and we do these things, and then we fail, and we look back and want to blame God. But we're the ones that circumvented the system. Because if I would have heard his word tells me I have to now transform it into sight and see the word, where the vision would have went from today, maybe 5 years down the line, because I took my time to see his word clearly. And I was obedient enough to say, you know what, I'm not going to rush God. I want to be in line with him because now I understand that there is a line. I now understand that there is a place. I understand now that I can dwell with him as I walk daily, constantly, everlastingly, and without a doubt, it can happen. It's simple. Look at what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. And first of all, this is how you pray. You pray to our Father. You first of all acknowledging that there's something greater than you. Hallowed be thy name. Ooh, Jesus. That means that you honor that name. And then you give a confession of thy will be done. On earth, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it what is in heaven. See, that shows me that word is completed. So that's showing me that if I pray to him as my Father and I honor him in prayer and that I let it be his will that's done, not mine, that I can be in position to receive his will to fall in my life. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't by me asking for something in particular. I just had to be available to be a prayer warrior. I had to be available to be conscious in his word. I had to be available and ready and willing to stand in position and receive. See, a lot of us brothers and sisters got a bunch of blessings up there in the heavenlies that have your name on them, and you're expecting them to fall down. And I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but really I'm a bearer of good news. They're up there for you to go and reach them through prayer. They're up there for you to go reach them through obedience. They're up there for you to go reach them by commitment and then start to pull those things down. Because it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's telling me they have to be a transfer. But we have to be the ones to activate the transfer. And when do we do it? We do it right now. Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now you hearken diligently to the word of his God, of our God, not yesterday. And if we can get in the mindset, brothers and sisters, that it's time to come focused to God. You know, there's three types of people I found. And this just comes from my training courses and going through different churches and helping pastors and everything. But I've developed that there are three types of Christians in this walk. You have, I hate to say this, but you have very few that I would call the focused attend. When you focus attend, that means you watch every move he makes. You're ready, willing, and available, even at 3 o'clock in the morning when he's tapping you on the shoulder saying, son, get up and pray. You're so focused, you get up. Daughter, I need you, to stay up a little bit longer and give me some worship. And we forget, and we mostly time miss his call because a lot of us won't be that focused. But then there's a second type. The second type of people that they pretend to attend. Remember you in high school, and I don't know if this was you, but I think I had a guy sitting next to me in my class, and he would look at the teacher like he would even scribble on his notepad like he was doing something. At the end of the class, she would say, hey, I'm not going to put his name out there. And she said, what was that? Do you remember that last sentence I gave you? And he would give her that look that was just like, duh, I don't know what you're talking about, because he pretended to attend. Then you have the third. The third are the selective attend. You know, some people only hear their name when you say, hey, I got $10 for you, Sharon. Hey, Richard, I got a new car for you. They run fast. But you can be talking to them a lot of times, especially when you're ministering to them, especially when you're trying to bring them higher in the Lord, especially when you're trying to hold them accountable. And pastors, you know what I mean. You know, you train and you try to hold accountable because you want that spirit of accountability, of excellence. But every time you hold them accountable, they look like you're doing something wrong, like you're all up in their business, like you're asking too many questions. But they're joining in a relationship with you to be accountable, but just don't know how to be accountable. Mm-hmm. It's glory to God that he's calling us to a higher level, and he's giving us some things that will guide us to that step. And that key universal principle of walk your purpose is your thinking. There's nothing that happens. There's nothing that's going to happen. There's nothing that's even around that not revolves around the way we think. And if we don't change the way we think, that we are victorious, even when we're in a battle. We have to start walking into these things with the spirit of victory. We have to fight back. We got to take control. Not take control of the world, not take control of Macy's. We have to take back control of our thinking. See, the information you allow in your mind will design the person that you are, the kind of books you read, the music you listen to, the people you listen to, the words you let resonate in your spirit. Because just like the word can become life, it can also become death. And that's in the Word of God. It says that the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life.
Right.
See, the Word of God told me in 2 Timothy 2 and 7 that I am supposed to be of sound mind. That means that I'm supposed to exercise my mind. That I'm supposed to, first of all, build a relationship with God and become single-minded. It's a hard job. We got to become single-minded. The Word says that a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. So even though you sing good, preach good, look good, got your cross on and all that, if you are not stable in him, those looks mean nothing, because we got to get away from what's on the outside and start to develop what's on the inside. Restore our conscious thinking with the one-mindedness of Christ, being totally fixed on him. That comes out of 1 Peter 3 and 8. I'm going to throw these scriptures out there, because I'm not just going to throw. This is everything upon provoke is built around the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of facts about the brain, because this is the most important. Did you know? I don't care if you're big, fat, skinny, tall, little, whatever. Every brain weighs 3 pounds of flesh. The encyclopedia says it is temporal. It's where all personal truth and reality is defined. That's where our actual awareness is. So see how important that is between conscious and subconscious? If I'm unconscious, that is my whole awareness. And I wonder why I keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. If I become conscious, I'm led by the Spirit. I'm molded by the Spirit. I can do what the Spirit says I can do. And we walk around with victorious spirit. When you say, I'm going to lay hands on somebody, before your hand even lay on you, and the confidence is already done. But did you know that our brains have the capacity to process over 100 million bytes of information? That's the encyclopedia, that's the Bible, that's even the dictionary all put together, and it's still, that's not even 75% of our knowledge that we're even using. Now, that's a lot of information. Wow, did we even know that? Did you know that with proper use and exercise, that our brain has the capacity to increase the potential limitless? Just because one guy was a genius and he was in your class and that doesn't mean you can't be a genius. Everybody do this with me. You know, just take a deep breath here. As long as you can do that, it's not too late. As long as you can take a breath, it is not too late to correct the wrongs that not because it's our fault, but the Bible says that we perish for lack of knowledge. So if you see all these key points that the Word of God is saying about knowledge, about thinking, about being conscious, we have to understand that this is the key to change. Now, those are the keys of the scientists. They discover some awesome things. See, like I said before, the enemy comes to sever our relationship with God through our ignorance, through our lack of potential, through our, and this is key, through our lack of trust in God. Because, see, when the enemy took away the birthrights from Adam and Eve, they had fear first. What they do, they hid. And then they started to make excuses. They weren't confident anymore. You know, the Word of God says that Adam walked and talked with God. They had a bond. They had a relationship. I mean, there was no fear. God and Adam were as one. When Eve came, it was a family. There was no lack. But the enemy broke that connection, and now he took away their birthright. He took away their ability to be confident in God. He took away the ability for Adam to be courageous enough to go and name every animal. He took away their hope that everything God said was going to happen had already happened and was going to continue to happen. He destroyed their faith. Their faith was totally gone. And then the most important thing is that he took away the trust in God that he was the source of everything. And that's what we need back today. We need to reprogram our minds that we can take back what the enemy stole. And yes, I know you're good in this area. And yes, oh, you're perfect over here. But, you know, the whole man, the whole woman and man of God is what God is going to elevate. It is going to bring the masses. It is going to heal the sick. It is going to raise the dead. It is going to walk on water, because everything he did, we have the power. The same thing that he did, we were left the same assignment to do. But because of our lack of, first of all, knowledge and the ignorance, and I know that's a cruel word, but in the ignorance of the full word of God, putting all of the principles in order, that we follow them completely. Say this with me if you're in agreement. Enough is enough. I know, and the Lord is speaking to me every time I minister, because I must stay focused. See, when God reprograms our mind, he becomes now the source of true life. That's why we have to become more knowledgeable of the systems. It's important that we choose, that we want immediate change. It's time for us to choose that we take the stand to align with his word. He said in 8 and 10, he said he'll write them what? He'll write them in your mind, and he'll put his laws in your heart. That's Hebrews 8 and 10. That's the word of God. So if we want these things, we have to be provoked. And it's not just my job. It's not just the pastor's job. It's just not the layman's job. It's just not the deacon's job. It's just not the elder's job. It says, let us provoke unto love to one another. Let's push each other. Let's hold each other accountable. Let's finally go to our pastors and say, you know what, it's okay for you to be in my mess. Let's finally understand that our leaders will be trained to such excellence that people will come because they want you to be holding them accountable when they know accountability is what God is calling us to. See, when we stay connected to God as our source, now when we transfer into the new life of Christ. We're spiritual beings because now we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. And I know there's a lot of us, we trust God, but a lot of times when we do things, it's not by the faith that we go by. It's because we already got a confirmed engagement. We already know we're going there. We already know there's an honorarium. We already know this is coming. But if God says, move now, get a portable mic, get on the corner. I want you to move now, son. I want you to go minister now, son. I want you to go evangelize. Most of us don't move because we can't see it, because ain't nobody on the corner with us. But when we start to walk by faith, we go out there and we set up, and once you blink your eyes, now you see that's what God meant. Because we don't worry about what we see. We know because we're connected to the vine. He's in us, we're in him. And we see it on the inside already because we've opened up our spiritual projector that his word doesn't just look like a letter in my mind, it looks like a picture. 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, our new life is in Christ because what? We walk by what? Not by faith. That gives us the new life in Christ. That's why we're instructed to be not conformed to this world. Because, I mean, the world will only lead you by what you see. The Spirit will lead you by what you don't see. Until it's time for your season, when it's time for you to receive the activation of your faith through going through the process completely. Now, you know, we're called to stay focused to God. But see, the most of the thing is that this is the part about this. In John 15, as it says to be connected to him, that he's divine, see, it's more important that, you know, if you're not connected to the vine, then you're not getting the right kind of nourishment that you need. And all I have to say is that we have to be guarded and protected on what we let speak into us. We have to be guarded about what we allow ourselves to read and watch on TV and listen through our ear gates. That we have to be conscious to make choices that we live for a lifelong praise to God, that he's established in everything we do. Now, just like I said, that there were functions of the subconscious mind. We talked about 5 senses, the way we think, hear, smell, feel, yada, yada. We talked about culture and authority. But now we're going to talk about the conscious mind. Now, this is where we get excited. Because when God comes to live in us, God will not dwell in anything that is not of him. So as we start to renew ourselves and become new again, because, you know, 2 Corinthians says that if anyone, it didn't say just the leaders, it didn't say just the people on the bottom. It says if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. But what? Guess what? Old things become new again. Because, see, most of the things in your life, just because they're not of God today, does not mean you have to stop being the outgoing person you are. That you have to stop being boisterous. Because those are gifts of God. They've just been critiqued to a different thing because of a consciousness. But when we become conscious, now we take in reliable information. We now start to have creative visions and ideas. We make conscious choices. And then we start to develop that, you know, there is a process that God says that we can make choices from. So in our conscious mind, it says first that we should, that this is a structure to take in information through the Word of God. See, we have to read the Word that, number one, we recognize it. To recognize the Word of God is to be aware of its existence. Number two, to identify whether or not this that I am experiencing is good or bad or not so good. Then once you identify, you can now organize it that, you know what, this isn't for my life. Or you can bring it in and say, well, it's not for today, but I see that I need to build on this. I need to activate this thing because this is of God, and God wants to work this thing. Because I now recognize through conscious relationship with him that his word is alive, that his word will work, that his word will perform itself exactly like he said it would do. See, when we follow these steps, now we start acquiring information that will take us to another level. When we start to develop principles and we start to develop courses and curriculums to train and to equip our neighborhood and our country, because I'll tell you that I really have a big passion for the country. I see, you know, a lot of friends that do missionaries, and I tell them all the time, God bless. But I can go down the street and I can tell you right now where there's some work to do. So I am more about let's fix home first and then let's go out once home is perfected. See, life in or out of Christ, is, you know, It's a bunch of choices. I don't care if you're conscious or not. It's just about choices. But our choices must come from God, not led by the inside. Not led by the outside, but led by the inside. So the Bible showed us that we are supposed to. I'm just going to show you how the Word is going to confirm this thing about how we think. We're supposed to study ourselves approved. That's in 2 Timothy 2 and 5. And that we will not perish, because if we have knowledge, we will not perish, because the Bible says we perish for a lack of it. So if you take lack out, that gives more knowledge. So I think in process, it has to change drastically. Not just, okay, we're gonna take a year, we're gonna set up a year program, and we'll hold glory to God, and we're gonna do this. We have to get vibrant about this thing. We have to take this to such a higher level that the enemy sees that there's no need to even come against, because there is a new person standing there with a new name, with a new vision, with a new commitment. To not be deterred, to not be taken off your path, to not lose focus. See, we have to stay connected to the source of our hope. When we regain our birthrights, now we're confident to walk with God. We got the courage to follow Him daily. The Word of God says, take up your cross when? Daily. When? Daily. When? So every day you got another cross. Take up your cross daily and follow Him. We must have hope in Him without any doubt. Believe in the truth that Jesus is who Jesus said He was. The Lamb of God. Oh, glory to God. Faith is now. And as we believe that Jesus is who He said He is, now we can now develop that God is the source of everything we need. No longer do we worry about, is a man going to be the one to come through the door and bring me the gift that God said that He has for me? No, God has the gift for us. And when God gives freely. But He gives freely to those that are willing to develop the vision into the plan. That the plan can now be activated on the outside and can be done exactly as God said. Remember this. And if you don't remember anything else, remember this. The Bible says that we are supposed to put those things behind us. Put them in the past. Put those things from the past behind us and look up towards the mark of the high calling. This is what I want you to remember. Our past will never let us go any farther than you ever made it in your past. For instance, 10 years ago you had a vision. And you went out and you were excited, and everybody you told about it, they believed in you, Pastor. They believed in you, man of God, woman of God. They believed in you, and they sold into you. But because we were a little unconscious, and because we didn't hear exactly when God said do it, we moved too fast and we failed. Well, glory to God. We finally got re-provoked. We got back in line. We're moving forward, and we paid off all our debts, and we paid everybody that loaned us money. But now it's time for the vision. If you don't start your vision on your own and you go back to your past will do nothing but remind you of what you did the first time. And that's what I mean by your past will always hold you hostage to how good you weren't, how pretty you weren't. You weren't as pretty as everybody else. You couldn't run as fast as everybody else. You couldn't jump as high as everybody else. You didn't have the best clothes like everybody else. You weren't as articulate as everybody else. So when you try to move forward, those things of the past will always hook your back and pull you backwards, because the enemy doesn't want you to reach your potential. The enemy wants to rob you of what God has for you. The enemy wants to steal every vision, every dream that the Lord has for you. You know, we do this in Matthew 6:33, that if we would seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be added unto me. That's pretty encouraging. That if I don't even pray anymore, I just got to seek him. I don't have to ask him anymore. I just got to seek him first. And not just seek him, I got to seek him in his kingdom, which is in heaven. Then I have to look for him in his righteousness. Now, look at the principle. Seek. When you seek him, you find him in his kingdom. That's where he's at. Then thirdly, it must be in his righteousness. Most of us get stuck on just the first word, seek. And we expect why it's not, all things are not added unto me. But if you follow the whole principle, see, this means that no longer can we expect the easy road. We have to start to begin to walk with his principles and become what the scripture says, that we're more than conquerors. See, a conqueror is one that goes with the fight. But more than a conqueror, Jesus. That means you ain't got to fight the battle. Because more than a conqueror means that you're already above the one that's conquering. Hallelujah. But the only way we can become more than is to now walk in the principles. See, we can truly begin again. Right now. 0 to 5 seconds. You can make your choice right now. Right now and change. We can live again. We can serve God on earth as it is in heaven and get in line with his finished work. See, by no mistake, believe this. God had already completed you before you were even born on earth because it was in heaven. And God is a God of completion. And he designed us from right to left in the heavenlies. But when it's transferred to the earthlies, everything goes from what? Left to right. Now, what God also says is that a day to us is a what? 1,000 to him. To be in line with him from a right to left to a left to right means you got to close the gap. You got to get in line. And by prayer and supplication, by obedience and following his uncompromisable word to the fullest, by staying committed and accountable. Those words, committed and accountable, have to stay resident in our spirit because I need you to hold me accountable. I have a team of accountability. Mm. Pastor, did you do this? Coach, did you get that? You know, did you make that call? Because guess what? I'm only one person. And when I have a team and I'm trying to be of excellence, I have to now allow my team to have ownership of what I have given them to own. But without proper training, we keep putting people in these positions and expecting why they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's called getting in line with the steps that have been ordered. Not here. Yes, we're walking here, but we must walk how he wanted us to walk in heaven. You know, some of us, we're supposed to go to college right out of high school. But now we want to take a couple years off. We didn't go to end up going to the college that we could have went right out of college. God had provided us kids that we were been right in line with his plan for us, but we made our own choices. And we decided to take a year or two off. Then when we went back to get our degree, we had to go to a lower college because we couldn't get back in that college anymore. And now we find ourselves behind where God called us to be. Or a lot of us just say, you know what, I'm not going to college. I'm just going to get me a job, and we just take off running. We got a little money, started a little job. We did this, we did that, we did this, and we just took off running. And before you know, we're way ahead of God. God is calling us to get in line with his finished work. Stop worrying, brothers and sisters, about what's coming or what left. But start getting in focus to see what he's going to do when, right now. And glory to God, it's possible. It's feasible. But it's not going to happen unless we make the choice to be provoked. It's not going to happen by us just relying on that same old saying about holding on to God's unchanging hands. Yes, I want to hold on to his hands because his hands don't change. Yes, I want to hold on to his hands because there's love there. There's forgiveness there. There's comfort there. But there, you know, if I'm not going to take his hand and run with it and go find what he has for me, then I'm going to be sitting in the same seat I'm sitting in, and it's going to be back to the same old sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. See, we got to think clearly. Our meditation must be acceptable, not to us, but acceptable to him. We must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Then we'll have a sound mind. Then we'll be renewed in knowledge. Then we'll have the confidence that it shall be done. Not as we said it would be, but as he said it would be. Then we'll see the manifestation of what God is going to do. Changing the way we think. You can no longer think the way you thought just 5 seconds ago. The process must be ongoing in every moment. And as you start to now develop value in the Word of God. See, because when you start to see the Word, you'll now value the Word. When you can start to project it onto a camera on the inside and you see the whole movie of what God is about to do, then you can say, I walk by faith and not by sight. Because it's on the inside. And when you tell them, you know, that corner's mine, it's going to have this on it. I see the youth over here. I see the cathedral here. And people look at you and they say, well, you know what? Because they're not in line with the vision. They can't see what you see because they're not in line with what God is doing. When you become conscious. That's why a lot of times, you know, I was sharing with the evangelist yesterday. God sends people in seasons. He gives you the opportunity to minister to them. He gives you an opportunity to hold them accountable. But when they're not going to be in constant line with what God is doing, not what we do, but what God is going to do, a lot of times we have to accept the fact that season is over. And even though there's a need, and even though you're going to work a little harder, to be in line with God means that you're willing to separate yourself from anything that he's not willing to be a part of. Not just on Mondays, not just on Sundays, but every moment of every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and on and on and on until we finally reach glory. But if the Bible says that kingdom come will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that means while we're here on heaven, we can get so radical about this thing that we can start to pull down heaven, and we start to see the kingdom. You know, that's a lot of, you hear that a lot of times. Oh, no, we're down here building the kingdom of God. I don't want to build it. I want to pull down what he's already done, and I want it to be in excellence. I want it to be in his glory, but it can only be done by our consciousness. We have to change the way we think. Now, once you got the thinking thing down, this is where it gets exciting, because now it's time to get ready to go to war. Once you've got that brain transformed, once you've got that mind renewed, now it's time to understand that there is a place that this battle dwells. Most people would say, is it down on 4th in Chester? Or some people would say, is it down the street, across the corner, across the tracks? And I would have to say to them, no. The same battle that we had to understand, that is that the spiritual heart was not in the chest, but in the mind, we have to understand that this battlefield is not in eyes view. This battlefield is in a place that is way out of the atmosphere if you're not willing to go spiritually to another place. See, in that now, we talk about the heavenlies, but, you know, the Word of God says that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, in where? Heavenly places. See, that tells me that just like there is a dimension here, just like there's a dimension in heaven, that there's a dimension of spiritual entities that we wrestle against to fight this battle. See, when you go to war, you're not going to war physically, or at least when you become part of the anyone crowd, the anyone that are in Christ Jesus are now no longer the old man anymore, but now you're the new person. Now you're walking in the spirit, and you're willing to fight the battle in the when, in the now. You're willing to go to a spiritual level of fight. So where the conscious mind now has to be connected to God, the enemy comes in the spiritual realm. That's why we wrestle, because he's blocking us to get into God unless you have a complete zone of holiness. I call it the Isaiah 10 and 27. It's where the anointing dwells. It's where you and God can interact, where he can sup with you and you can sup with him. See, now this is where we can win the battle. With our consciousness and living by godly purpose, life, and victory. The word of God says in Ephesians 3:16-20, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the where? Inner man. That Christ may dwell where? In your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, God has granted us through him, through his might, through his power, through his spirit in us, and we just have faith in him. And if we root and ground ourselves in love, meaning we care about others, we hold each other accountable, we keep each other to a standard of excellence, and stop letting people, you know, just fall off just because I might be a little bit tired. We have to step up, and I just pray the Lord just put this in my spirit. I know it's a little rough, and I know it's a little bit, but the way that God has given me this, there's no other way. There's some that love it. There's some that follow, some that don't. But the ones that this was for God, I am believing that God is going to do an awesome thing. See, but as we become connected in him, rooted in him, he'll do everything because he works in us. See, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. About 2 minutes. I see it's pretty self-explanatory here. That if we are ready to fight this fight in a dimensional war, understanding, you know, the word said there that it's by the length, width, depth, and height. Everything in this world, I don't care what you look at, from the wall to the TV to the ceiling fans to the chairs, was made by how high, how wide, how long, how deep. That's telling me that is a third dimensional understanding. But in a fourth dimension, which would be that spiritual realm of, I call them gangbangers, we have to go to fight up there and win this war.
Oh.
Now, we're coming to the end of our time today, and I just want to prepare everybody that we'll come back tomorrow, that we're going to talk about preparing for the battle. We're going to go into a little deeper discussion about getting your birthrights back through the Word of God, but also understanding how to take up your cross daily and follow him. Because a lot of us, God has us ready to go through a circumstance, and we understand, we just don't understand why we're not getting anywhere. Because we keep going around it instead of going through it. And I don't know if you ever understood this or not, but if you don't go through your circumstance when it's time to go through, and you go around it, where do you end up at? Right back where you started from. So in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father God, I just pray that your word went through as you would have it to go, Heavenly Father God. I pray right now that every ear that has heard has received what you wanted them to hear on this day, Heavenly Father God. And I just pray, Lord, that as we stay connected and as we come back tomorrow, Lord, that you would just take us to another level, take us higher, and just open up our minds tonight, Lord. I know there's a lot of questions right now. I know there's a lot of distraction to say, well, I've never heard that before or didn't sound that way before. But, Lord, I just pray right now that your spirit will fall and your spirit will just be abound, that we come in agreement and we all say yes and amen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Hamilton, for that wonderful lesson. I tell you, you got to go back in the archives and really listen again to really absorb it and catch everything, especially if you're trying to keep notes. Amen. So we advise you to go back into the archives and listen again. And anything you miss, you can recapture it. Amen.
And I just wanted to share with everybody that Provoke is running through Facebook wide open. That you can check anything that we teach about is posted on there, and mm-hmm. we have all our contact information there. You have questions, we have answers. Because remember this: when you ask questions, you get answers, and when you get answers, you can make choices. So I encourage everybody to ask questions, get the right answers, so you can make the right choices.
Amen, amen. We're going to open up the lines. We still have about 15 callers on the line, so we're going to open up the lines and get a comment from you. Please keep it at a minimum because we still have 15 callers on the line, so we're going to go down the switchboard. I'm going to go to Evangelist. She's been working hard, and that's Evangelist Phillips. I just thank God for her today coming and help us. Man, the switchboard, I tell you, when the numbers are piling up like that and you trying to see who's who, it's hectic. Amen. So we just thank God for Evangelist Phillips coming in, and the Lord laid on my spirit to call her and ask her to help us. She's a professional at this. So God bless you, Evangelist Phillips. Thank you so much.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. I give honor to God, who is not just the head of my life. He is my entire life. And I hear some folks say, I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. But I tell you, I know where I'd be.
Six feet under.
Hallelujah. I'd be 6 feet under. And the things that I've done in life, they probably put me a couple more feet below. Praise the Lord. But I thank and praise God for his goodness, his kindness. I thank and praise God for the man of God. Praise the Lord. Pastor Hamilton, I was in and out, but I heard some stuff in and out. Hey, praise God. Praise the Lord. And to those of you that are on the line, I apologize to you that were confused about how I was coming to you. Praise the Lord. But I'm here as a help. I'm just an ordinary person doing extraordinary things for an awesome God. So you all pray my strength in the Lord. Pastor Hamilton, keep on doing what you're doing because you're doing it well. Praise the Lord. God bless you. And thank you, Evangelist Bernard.
You are so welcome. I tell you, God always has somebody ready, willing, and prepared. And she does an excellent job. So I need some help today. Thank you, Evangelist Phillips. We appreciate it. We're going down the switchboard, so we're going down the line where I don't get confused and miss anybody. So the first one up is Elder Gates. God bless you, Elder Gates.
Amen. God bless you, Evangelist Bernard and Pastor Hamilton. And we give God praise for all that has been said and all that is being done in the Spirit. And we pray that that the word of God that was spoken today would fall on good ground so that we can get the most out of what God is trying to do with us. I often say to people that when God speaks or when God sends a messenger, he doesn't speak just for the sake of hearing his voice. He has a purpose in mind. He has something that he wants to convey to us so that we can accomplish a task for him. And the more that we do for him, the more that it stimulates him to be able to manifest in our lives. And, just the... just the refreshing of knowing that we need to always be mindful of how we think and how what our minds are on and what in which way our minds are being directed, so that we can always be in tune with where God is and what the Spirit of God is trying to say or what He is saying unto the church, so that we can accomplish the will of God for our lives. And I give God praise for you, Evangelist, and for you, Pastor. Amen. Back to you.
God bless you.
Amen. We're going now. We have Sister Barbara Williams and then Evangelist William and Sister T. I'll in hurry to be Evangelist Sterling coming. So we're going straight down the switchboard. God bless you, Sister Barbara.
Yes, praise the Lord, saints. I thank the Almighty God for the lesson today, redeeming your birthrights. It was a beautiful lesson that the Almighty gave to Pastor Hamilton. And I thank you for that message.
Amen. Hello?
Yes. Evangelist Williams?
Yes,
Oh, go ahead. Are you done?
Oh, I'm done.
Amen.
God bless you.
We're going Evangelist Lucilla. God bless you.
God bless you too, ma'am.
God bless you. God bless you. Is my mic open?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
All right. Praise the Lord, everyone that is on the broadcast and to the spoken word that was given on today. God bless you, man of God. Truly, I have been provoked to God's purpose in ministry. I recently just launched a ministry, Yes, I Care Ministries, and truly, when you're provoked to do the will of God and to do and to heed to the vocation and the work that He has called us to do, truly it is nothing. You are on your way to your new destiny because you understand and you know your purpose. And it's already been provoked and you are on your way. And I truly, this word is just right on time for me. And I'm going to come back again tomorrow as my coach. You my coach now.
Yes,
ma'am. I'm going to hear the conclusion of the matter. God bless you.
Amen, amen. We're going to Sister T. Life Coach. So tune in tomorrow for part two, amen, in the culmination of this series on this week. Sister T, God bless you, and then Evangelist coming.
God bless you. I truly enjoyed the word on today. It's been very enlightening. I got like 4 pages of notes. Thank you, Coach. I'll be online again tomorrow, and I really am trying to hear from the Lord because I'm trying to find out what my direction is. But I thank God for the word that got spoken on today. Pray my strength in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Evangelist, come in.
Praise the Lord. I want to give God the glory, for the glory is His and His alone. I'm just blessed, Evangelist Bernard and Pastor Hampton. I'm blessed, and that I received, I want to plant it in the memory within my heart.
Yes.
That I might be able to receive, and not only just receive what I've heard, but I want to apply some of these things because it's just too beautiful, and I received it. And there's many things that I've been doing for the Lord these past 38 years, but today, some of the things I heard, I'm going to launch out a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to step out a little bit on faith. God bless you, and I plan my best to be listening tomorrow. I'll be working, but I'm going to be listening. I'm going to step out on
Come
faith.
On.
I don't
All
say
right.
it, but I'm going to step out because I really received something today. And what he said in Deuteronomy, the way he presented it, and even the illustrations that he gave, he's a right now God. You
All
have
right.
to receive it right now. And,
yeah.
and I'm receiving it right now.
Right now.
And I'm thinking it. So it's there.
Mm.
And I believe by faith. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. We're going to Sister Callie Molden. God bless you, Sister Cummings. That's my sister in the Lord. We worked together for many years in Los Angeles. So she's right there on your stumping ground, Pastor Hamilton, Los Angeles. Sister Callie Molden, God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, Pastor Bernard. How are you this evening?
I'm fine. God bless you.
I give God all the glory. The listen is truly a blessing because it was a conversation between me and one of my sisters in Christ, and I gave her that same information. Until the correction, we can't walk in the direction that God has for us. And it's time to pick up our cross daily and follow God.
Yes, yes.
Because without him, it's impossible for us to get the plans and the vision to where he needs us to be. Because he gives us provision as we see and hear the word of God. And it's time to step out on your faith and pick up your cross and get the plans that the Lord has for your life instead of our own fleshly plans.
Yes.
Because in our fleshly plans, we may look to the left or the right, but God keeps our eyes straight. And
yes.
He will not let harm come our way. We may go into a pit, but it's for the processing and the correction and the elevation that'll keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. But if we take our eyes off the cross, it detours us. And like I explained to the sister, sometimes a disobedience will lead us into a pit, but that's not the godly pit, and we won't get processed. It's like on an assembly line where we fall. When we fall off, we have to go all the way back to the beginning for inspection. And so on that assembly line, when you get from one point, you pass through the first set of inspections, then you go to the second level. Our faith level is the same way.
Yes.
And as I tell young men that seek in marriage, or I ask them this question, because they say, she won't do right here, I put it down and get another. Okay, if you got a Cadillac or a Lexus or a Range Rover, your car give out of gas or have a flat tire, you going to leave it beside the road and get a new one?
Yeah.
Or are you going to fuel your car up or buy a tire? So it's time for us to redirect our attention and our choice and our mind frame where we can listen to what God has to say to us.
Amen.
And I just thank God here because it's confirmation for what I tell. And like I told my sister, if I'm telling you something that the word of God is telling and God is saying to you and you fall off, it make me feel like I failed. But if you go to the next leader and they tell you the exact same thing and you heed your warning, then God is going to deal with you because they're going to ask you the question, what did Sister Molden tell you to do? And then when you say, well, she said to obey God.
Read the word,
fast, pray, and seek the kingdom of heaven. Don't believe what I say, believe what the word says.
Amen.
And then once you tell them that, they're going to say, well, she told you right. Because I will never be ashamed to do God's will, and I'll never be ashamed to what he tell me to do. I'm going to do what he tell me to say, I'm going to say. But you have to get in line and obey the word of God.
That's right.
And I just thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We're going to Sister Faithful. God bless you, this woman of God. I tell you, those of you that's on the line, that need to upgrade your ministries, need to get logos and make yourself look presentable when you send out letters and invitations to other churches and you want fellowship, you got to look like something. Amen. I don't know if Pastor Hamilton is going to hit on any of that, but we got to look like excellence. We God is a God of excellence. So we can't send out napkins. We can't hand out napkins when we go to conferences. We need to have a professional business card. You can't tell nobody you in ministry and you don't have nothing to present to them. How they gonna get in touch with you? Write your church name or your number on a napkin. Come on, people of God. We're in the 21st century and we can't do 18th century ministry in the 21st century. We got to come up to where God is trying to take us in. You know, when I see somebody send me an invitation or something and it just don't look, hey, I got a question. You gotta look like something. Hey,
that's right.
Why not
that's
just
right.
Elevate what you're doing and upgrade, put a facelift on your ministry. And, you know, as we make sacrifices to go buy all of these clothing, the dress out this out of man, why don't we invest in our ministries? You got to invest something. You can't expect to reap and you never sow.
That's right.
The law. The law of sowing and reaping, it applies to the Christian and the non-Christian. And guess what? It doesn't change because you're a Christian. Whatever you sow, expect to reap that. So if you're not sowing anything, don't look for no harvest. Amen? This man of God has sown today, and he's sowing tomorrow. Okay? So guess what? He can expect God to bless him. He can expect some windows of heaven to open up. He can expect some unexpected doors to start opening. Hallelujah, because he made a sacrifice, and he's sowing into the lives of us, the leaders. That everybody on this line, I believe today, is a leader in some aspect or another. So let's rise on up. Let's make God proud of the gift that he has given us, as the man of God preached on yesterday. How can God trust you with your gift and dare to trust in that young man preached on yesterday? But I'm going on. We got three more callers on the line. Apostle Johnson is at the last, and it's a good thing that he's there, because the last going to be first. Amen. God bless you, Minister Mim. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed Faithful. I'm talking. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I had Faithful mic open, and I went to promoting, which she does, and didn't even get a word from her. God bless you, Faithful. Then Minister Mim.
God bless you.
Amen, evangelist, movement of God. Thank you, Pastor Hamilton, for going forth, you know, knowing our birthrights. You know, sometimes so many have to go back to actually know them, so as they regain them, they can keep them in order. Courage, confidence, hope, belief, faith, trust, to go forth, wake up, get up, move now. That's right, 0 to 5, 60 seconds, in Jesus' name, amen. So thank you for going forth, man of God. I look forward to tomorrow. You know, I already know every description and detail of it, so I'm excited, and I'm that you're sharing it. So thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. You need to have her on the road with you, Pastor Hamilton. She knows that's good.
We have things in the mix. God is moving.
All right. God bless you, Minister Mim.
Praise the Lord. I want to give honor to God who's first in my life, give honor to everyone in their respectful places. And I just want to say thank you, Pastor Hamilton, for the word of God today. I thank you for preaching the word as God has given it unto you, and continue to preach the word as God has given it unto you. And, you know, continue to remind us, because sometimes we do need to be reminded and we need to go back and start all over. So I thank you for that word of encouragement on today, and God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Amen. We're going to Sister Charlotte Taylor. Can you tell me what area you're from? I don't recognize that area code. God bless you. Sister Taylor?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell me what area code are you calling from?
I'm in Alta Vista, Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. God bless you. How do you hear about
Yes, ma'am. I enjoyed the word and everything. This is my first time being on there. I was on there by Sister Carly. She told me to get on the line.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. We thank you for tuning in on today, God. Let this be your last time. Amen. We're going to Apostle Johnson. God bless you. Apostle Timothy Johnson, this was our
message
yesterday. God bless you.
Amen. Grace and peace to all. Certainly, Pastor, I enjoyed the word, because certainly when you're teaching upon the spirit of excellence, the way we must carry ourselves and the kingdom of God. Certainly it's something that helps build and edify us and helps us think and remember back when,
yes.
Because it's certainly something that God is saying strategic in this hour. And certainly I thank God for that spirit of excellence on you to help build and teach the kingdom of God how to get stronger, because that's what a lot of ministries are missing. We will do everything else in order except for the house of God. We'll try to operate in every other kind of way than in the order that God expects for his house to be. You know, I've never seen people that want to buy so much nice things for their own house, and when it comes down to the house of God, we don't care how it looks or how it feels or how
Come
we
on.
Do things. But certainly I honor God for the spirit of excellence that you're teaching with, that is empowering people to do the will of God and do it in the right way and in the right
yes.
manner. So we do honor God for the word of God in you on today and for what you had to say to the people of God. It was truly a blessing. I enjoyed it on today, and I look forward to tomorrow hearing the conclusion of the matter to what God is saying to the church within this hour. God bless
Amen.
You all.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Well, we just have had a wonderful time. I tell you, God has been blessing. We took a little pause from our series, The Acts of the Apostles, and we'll be going back to that book of Acts on Thursday and Friday, but we're looking forward again until tomorrow to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And I tell you, we just so thankful and grateful for Pastor Hamilton. We met him through Minister Stacy, and she was on the line a little bit early, and we just thank God for the divine connections. We thank God that God is gathering his people together, and you know, I don't care what folks say, you know, if the Lord invited, the Lord had somebody to extend an invitation to me, I don't care who they are. They're not going to convert me. I'm going to stand on the word of God. Some of us have little peas about where we go and if somebody's not doing this and if they're not doing that. Well, I know one thing, that any place that I'm invited to, guess what? I will impact that place. They're going to be impacted by my very presence. So I'm not there. Hallelujah,
yes.
to try to tear down what they're doing, but I can tell you this, they will not indoctrinate me. I know this word, and I know the foundation that I'm standing on, so therefore, I'm not intimidated, and we got to get beyond, we got to think, like Pastor Hamilton said, we got to think outside the box. Some of us are still in these boxes, and that's why God can't help us, because we won't let go of some of this stuff. This is tough. And we have been teaching for about 3 weeks. We've been on this series, The Acts of the Apostles. And we all know the stories about Peter and how he didn't even want to eat. He didn't even want to sit with the Gentiles. And we all got these different hang-ups. But it's time for us to get rid of all of this stuff. And let's love on God. Let's
Come
do what
now.
This word says to do. The word say, love ye one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. So I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Buddhist, whatever kind of issue you is. It's all right, because I know who I am. Amen.
Yes.
So we just thank the Lord for Pastor Hamilton today. I tell you, I sat a little quiet. My spirit was stirred, and I just enjoyed what I heard, and that provoked to purpose. I like that slogan. I just love that. Provoked to purpose. So God bless you. We're going back to Pastor Hamilton for the last remarks, and I'm going to ask him to close out with the word of prayer. God bless
well,
you, man
amen.
Of God.
Well, praise God. Well, team, this is where we're at now. Like, I'll see you, Coach. I'm looking for you to be ready tomorrow. But tomorrow, I'm expecting everybody to come with a whole different attitude. I'm expecting everybody to now seek his word tonight. Find what God has to say, because this word went forth to now grow something in you, not tomorrow, but right now. So let's come back tomorrow. Let's get in this thing. I got three more principles I want to share with you. Our program is a 15-hour program. We usually do it in a 2-day form, and that's including worship and training. So this does go a little bit farther, but we're going to give you some things tomorrow that is going to help you to take it to another level. right now. Now, Heavenly Father God, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you that your word went forth. We already know it's not going to come back void. Lord, we claim right now victory. That, Lord, as we build this team of unified believers that stand on your uncompromisable word, that, Lord, as you strengthen us, we can go forward with power, not our power, your power. That we can go forward in might, not our might, your might. And by all means, Heavenly Father God, not by our spirit, but by your spirit. And Heavenly Father God, we'll continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you and praise you in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. God bless you.
Let's sing that second verse again. My God.
Amen, amen. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you coming in and helping us.
God bless you guys.
My God is awesome.
My God
is awesome. Hey, I am forgiven.
God bless you all. Have a Jesus day. Thank you, Elder Gates. Love you.